Are you into games? Lots of us play them, but few of us think about their aesthetics and the role they play in our lives. One person who does think about those things is Frank Lance, author of the new book, The Beauty of Games. Frank is a game designer who has shipped over 50 titles. He's taught game design for more than 20 years at New York University, where he helped create the NYU Game Center and served as the founding chair of the game design department. Here he is to share five of his key insights.
Hi, my name is Frank Lance. I am a game designer and a game design teacher. I'm the founding chair of the NYU Game Center, which is the game design department at New York University, Tisch School of the Arts. And I want to share five key insights from my new book, The Beauty of Games. So here's insight number one, bringing games into conversation with the world. Despite occupying an enormous amount of our time and attention and being a huge economic force, bigger than movies and music combined, games really don't seem to participate much in our collective conversations about things that matter, our ongoing project of defining ourselves, our world, and our collective future. Literature, cinema, painting, music, each of these things has its own unique way of contributing to this conversation. But games have struggled to join in. I don't know, I think maybe it's partly because of how awesome they are. Like, games can be so complex, so absorbing, so enthralling, so rich and strange and entrancing that each one, it's almost like it creates its own little separate world, one into which all of the energy and attention that we can muster is swallowed up and disappears completely. But I think this is an illusion. I think games are more than just colorful, complicated, enthralling pop culture. And games are more than just simulated worlds into which we disappear for entertainment or escape. Games, just like those other art forms, can be a source of ideas and concepts and insights and perspectives. They have things to tell us about the world, and this book is an attempt to listen. I really want to help bring games and game design and the ideas that I think are really important in that world. I want to bring them into public conversation more. I want them to have more of a interaction with the ongoing conversations that we have about important things in the world. Insight number two, games are the art form of software. You know, games have always been deeply entangled with computers. Long before computers existed, games were out there dreaming them up. If you look at a board game like chess, looks like a calculating device in some ways, right? You've got these kind of symbolic pieces that are just meant to be kind of abstract logical units, and you're processing them according to the rules, and you're exploring the interaction of those rules, and it's very much like you took an abacus and used it not in order to solve a problem in the world, but in order to explore the beauty of math and calculations and systems and rules for its own sake. So in a way, I like to think that games invented computers. And they were definitely there at the beginning, kind of working to inspire. And, you know, people like Charles Babbage definitely looked at this famous 19th century hoax of the Mechanical Turk, which was meant to be a kind of mechanical device that could play chess. And that was one of the inspirations for Babbage's explorations into calculating machines. And Alan Turing, one of the first things he did when he was thinking up the idea of what a computer would be, was to kind of imagine what a program that played chess would look like. So even before the, you know, the idea of a fully fledged computer was there, he was thinking about how you could play chess using an algorithm. So I think games have this really deep influence and relationship to computers. Now, obviously, video games are the art form of computers, the art form of computation. I mean, what is software that is made for its own sake instead of made to achieve a specific goal or accomplish some task in the world? If you just make software for its own sake, that's what video games are. So games have this really deep relationship to computers. And then, you know, once we had computers, the thing that video games are doing is really asking the question, okay, what are computers for? You know, you had these giant computers, these giant mainframes at universities, and then late at night, the nerds would sneak into the computer room and try to figure out what you could do with them. That wasn't just plotting the trajectory of missiles, but like dreaming up imaginary spaces and creating new kinds of experiences. So video games have always had this relationship to computers, that they're asking the questions, what are computers for? What do they mean? What do we want from them? And now that it's too late for the world to escape being consumed by the voracious maw of computation, these questions are more important than ever. What does it mean to see the world as system, as a possibility space defined by constraints and affordances and goals? How does simple determinism spiral into irreducible complexity? Where do the laws of matter meet the experience of mind? What does this button do? You know, games are the art form that connects the logical machinery of cause and effect to the diaphanous wonders of desire and dream. 3, music, not film. So whenever games are invoked as aesthetic works with something to tell us about life and the world, it's often through the conceptual lens of cinema and story. And because video games are visually spectacular, we tend to treat them as a form of screen culture. And it makes sense because in some ways, video games have picked up the baton of visual beauty. It's something that they do share with cinema, is this interest and exploration of visual beauty, which is something that in fine art has become less of a focus. It is genuinely true that this is an important aspect of video games. But this framing, this focus on the visual aspects, on the representational aspects of games, on scenes and characters and plot and narrative and story, it can be impoverished and misleading. And I think that music is a much better analogy. Music, like games, has a lighter, more kind of complementary relationship to representation, to mimesis, to story. Music is about participation. It's about entrainment. The songs that we learn, the instruments we struggle to master, the rhythms that organize and give pattern to our perception, the mathematics of emotion, the ways in which the separate strands of our individual attention are woven together in shared rituals of coordinated activity. Like music, the beauty of games can be hard to see. Sometimes you have to shut your eyes and listen. Insight number 4, thought made visible to itself. Perhaps the central theme of this book is that games are a kind of homebrew neuroscience, a kind of cognitive neuroscience that we do on ourselves. whenever you play a game, you're learning and you're observing yourself learning. In games, the fundamental essence of what it means to be a human, to be a particular kind of cognitive process, to be an agent in the world, perceiving, taking action, making models, solving problems, pursuing goals, that is given a kind of stylized, ritualized, performative treatment so that we can temporarily step outside of it and see it and appreciate it, just recognize it. It's almost like the David Foster Wallace story about the fish in the ocean, and the old fish swims by the new fish and asks them, how's the water? And the younger fish say, what's water? You know, this is what the process of perceiving and thinking and doing is like for humans. We're so much embedded in it that we can't see it. And so in games, you have this little stylized, ritualized version of that thing, of being an agent in a world, perceiving and thinking and doing. And that allows you to kind of pull back and see it and recognize it and appreciate it. And at the same time, simultaneously, you also can fall into it. You can temporarily lean forward and kind of disappear into that process, give yourself over to it, which is another way of escaping it. And this very curious, sometimes awkward dance move by which we spin around to try to catch ourselves in the act of thinking and doing, this way of stepping out of and at the same time disappearing into what I call instrumental reason, is the thread that ties all of the ideas in the book together. Insight number 5, games and artificial intelligence. Now, I think that games have not only the opportunity, but the responsibility to help humanity navigate the historical moment in which we find ourselves, poised on the edge of what might be the strangest and most important transition in the history of civilization. What are computers? What is thought? What is knowledge? What is problem solving? What is creativity? And not just what are they technically, not just how do they work, not just can we make them, but what do they mean? What do we want from them? What is beautiful about them? These are the kinds of conversations that we have in the realm of aesthetics, when we seek out cultural works that speak to us, that give us joy or sweet sadness, that startle us with shocking novelty or steady us with the stable truths of established tradition, when we make a conscious effort to improve our literacy and expand our taste, or relax and let our hearts remind us who we really are. More than anything, I want this book to inspire us to make and play and think and talk about games with these questions in mind, and to bring our experiences with games to bear on the problems and the promise of artificial intelligence in a way that helps us shape the future in the best possible way. So there you go. 5 insights from my book, The Beauty of Games. I hope that you enjoy it. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. That was Frank Lance with 5 big ideas from The Beauty of Games. Also, check out our book bite for Player vs. Monster, The Making and Breaking of Video Game Monstrosity by Yaroslav Svelk. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have a great day.